Can you hear me?
Well, I don't know what's going on. Suddenly the music doesn't want to play.
Let's see what's going on here.
There we go. Can't start without the music. I don't know what happened.
All right, the music's playing. Everybody's happy. Okay, that's the next step. I'm going to just say I'm Larry Jacobs. This is K-12 Education Talk Radio on June 9th, 2020. Now I'm going to shut the music off. Okay?
There we go. Okay, hey, we're into the show now, all right? I don't know what happened there with the music. It's supposed to be this dramatic beginning with the music flourishing, and I guess that just didn't want to happen on this show. But we got a great show anyway, because we're going to talk about defining equity and access to my two of my favorite things in this world of blended education. And I have great people to talk about it, from ENA and Catch On. Same company. We got Lil Kellogg, my old friend Lil Kellogg, and returning again. We have Monica Coogan, okay, who's a product manager over there. Lil is the senior vice president. They are experts in the field, and this topic is amazing, and the products they have are absolutely excellent. I'm telling you, Lil is a known genius in the field. She's probably laughing right now before I bring her on, but it is true, Lil. And Monica ain't far behind. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org and tweet it out over at EduTalkRadio, like we always do, education-talkradio.org. You go over there, you can see our shows, listen to our shows all the way back to 2011. Okay, which is how long we've been doing this now. And every show's over there under past shows. Just go over there, archive shows, check it out. We have a lot of news over there as well. We're very proud of our other website, okay, ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. And that ace-ed is now an acronym for the American Consortium for Equity in Education, ace-ed. All right, our magazine is over there. It's our online journal, Accessibility, Compliance, and Equity, AC&E. It's now the official journal of the consortium, where we are trying and we are succeeding in getting industry and educator voice about equity and access out on the web. We are the only website totally devoted to equity and access in education. Please, everything we do over there, no charge. So go over there. Sign on, educators. Sign on, industry folks, okay, to the American Consortium for Equity in Education. ace-ed.org. Okay, now with no music, I should bring my old pal Lil and Monica with some music. Let's see, I'll ask them if they want some music here. Hold on. Lil, are you there? Hold on.
I am here. Good Lil, morning, Larry.
I'm sorry about the music. Would you like a musical flourish now? I could do that.
You know, I think your introduction was stunning enough. Thank you. No music for me.
Okay, Monica, would you like a musical flourish? Just a quick one.
Oh, Larry, if you would like to go for it.
We just do it right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Lil has refused, but Monica, here we go. You ready? Here we go. Here we go. Let's see. Ladies and gentlemen, the amazing Monica Coogan. Okay, that ends that. There you go. See? I can do that. Yeah. Right. I don't know what happened before. It's good to have you too late.
I totally missed
here.
Out.
Oh, man. Lil, you can reverse that decision. Would you like some music?
Sure. You go for it, too.
Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, the astounding Lil Kellogg. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Lillian Kellogg, Vice President, Senior Vice President of Catch On and ENA. There you go. What do you think, Lil?
It's just author. Wonderful. Thank you.
Think.
Now all is well in our Ed Talk Radio world.
There you go. If we're only all well in the real world, and we are all struggling in education, doing the very best we can in crazy times, thank God there's companies like you guys out there, okay, which is where I want to start, because I want people to understand what you do. And what I said about our consortium is really key. I am very interested in promoting industry voice out there. And I don't mean just by advertising. We want a lot of stuff from you guys. And we'll talk about that as the day goes on. All right? But I hope everybody goes over there and joins in with us. Lil, I'm going to ask Lil, and then we'll do one each. Okay, Lil, what do you want to talk about? Tell us about either Catch On or ENA. Up to you. Which one? Pick one. Lil.
Well, I'll take ENA. So as people may or may not know, ENA has been serving the K-12 community for over 24 years. We started way back when in 1996 providing connectivity services to schools in Tennessee, and then we broadened that to the entire country. And then much more beyond connectivity. So now we do voice over IP, we do cloud services, we do security services, we do Wi-Fi services. So the types of solutions that ENA brings to the K-12 community are front and center and foundational to equity, access, connectivity, remote learning, remote operations. It has always been important, but now it is just really highlighted.
Overwhelmingly important, I might add. In 1996, they were the old days. For those of you who were born in 1996, could be teachers now at age 24 years old, okay? And those were days when cavemen rode dinosaurs to work. That was how long ago that was, and that's how long you've been around, for God's sakes, at ENA. It's amazing, considering what it started with and where it is now. It's absolutely unbelievable, okay? And how much we have progressed on this. Monica Coogan, tell us about Catch On, which is part
of ENA. I'd love to. Thanks. Yes. So Catch On is part of the ENA family. They joined us 2 years ago, and we're very excited to have them. Catch On really works to give administrators and leaders a window into the efficacy of their technology investments. And I think what's really important in today's time, it's a tool that allows schools to see what's happening remotely. So we've actually been able to take a look at over 500,000 educators and students who have been connecting from home and see what their engagements are. And it gives that opportunity to have dialogue between the leaders at the district to really talk about and see what are the data-driven things that are happening. And also, you know, are our students connected? Are they engaged? You know, what is happening, whether they're at school or at home? And that's what Catch On does. It really gives that visual, and it gives that opportunity for districts to have conversation around impact, connectivity, and really equity.
Yeah.
Larry, as we determine whether students are with us when they are learning from remotely wherever they are.
And you use the right word. Thank you for saying the word equity. The other word you used is data. Okay, this gives you hard data. Okay, you're not taking a guess anymore. All right, and that's what's important about what we're talking about here, because you can move towards equity and you can move towards access, but if you don't have the data, it's only anecdotal. All right, and with the data, it works. And it's catchon.com, right? Catchon.com if they want to go there, and ENA.com.
Yeah, and I think we shared our reports with you as well, Larry, that I think you put out there for us this morning that really gives viewers and participants an opportunity to see what kinds of engagements are happening. We've really seen a shift in the number of application usage as students went home. And it's very interesting data to share. We've seen that students are learning at all times. It's interesting, as we looked at the data, we could see that they were connected beyond the normal school day into the evening. So that really reflects what's happening with parents who are trying to help educate at home as well, right, to see if their students are online. So they're really online beyond the school day, and we're even seeing spikes in weekend engagement as well.
That is fantastic. I love hearing that. And I put a whole bunch of links. If you go over and listen to the show, everybody, okay, I put a whole bunch. You can do that through education-talkradio.org. If you go over Monica sent me some links, okay, and I put them all on there. So if you listen to the show, it'll pop right up. And one of those I noticed, I can plug my friend Lisa's Schmucky's EdWeb group. Okay, you did a data analytics community discussion with EdWeb. Is that the one you're talking about?
Right. Actually, yes, absolutely. We've been doing data discussions all throughout the spring with EdWeb around privacy, which we can talk a little bit about in this conversation as well, and around really analyzing your data analytics. And many members of our Catch On community have joined that community so that not just when Lisa does the big webinars that we're in, there's also conversations happening within that community around what schools are doing, because we all know learning from each other is the best opportunity here. the whole blended learning or hybrid learning environment that we're going into. It's those conversations among the districts, and the EdWeb platform really allows the districts to come together to do that conversation.
EdWeb.net, everybody. My good friend Lisa Schmucke runs that, and it is free to educators, actually anybody, but certainly free to educators. So EdWeb.net, you can follow up on that. It's the data analytics community. They have a lot of different communities over there, and that this is the one we're talking about today, and that is key today. So let me swing back to Lil. Lil, you talk to district leadership all the time, and I know that they're in turmoil right now. Everybody is. They're doing the best they can, okay, but these are chaotic times. What are the big things that you're finding, Lil, and you've been in this business, so I don't know how you do it because you're only 29 years old, but you've been in business a long time here, okay? You've seen a lot of stuff here. What are the big challenges and opportunities that are facing the district leaders right now? Lil Kellogg, who I trust 100% with her opinions and ideas. Go ahead, Lil.
Thanks, Larry. So it's all about enabling, you know, there's the business of education and then the mission of education. So the business of education is, you know, all of the operational aspects of running, you know, small to large essential businesses. And then the mission of education is all around the learning. And now almost all of that has shifted to remote. And so remote access, remote operations, remote learning, all of those things are now front and center for our K-12 community, all of our school districts. Everyone's trying to figure out the best way for their district to go back to school, and it may not be back to school at all in some instances. May not be back to school at all in a variety of instances. You know, we see blended learning models. We see alternate day models for schools. We're seeing so many different models come up. And schools are really, you know, meeting the challenge because there's not that many weeks between, you know, now and the time kids are scheduled to be back at school. The biggest thing that we see is all around communications. So whether it is teachers communicating with students, whether it's parents communicating with the district, communications on every level that you can think of, and shifting those communications in a remote environment are some of the things that ENA is really working with every district that we serve and districts across the United States in shifting communications, whether it's their voice system, whether it's providing video conferencing, whether it's providing instructional tools, all of these things, you know, Wi-Fi, being able to expand the Wi-Fi access of a school district to broaden the reach into the community. There's so many things that districts have to do and think about that, you know, the partnerships with vendors have really, you know, been quite important for schools because, everybody has to do this together, right? It's not something that any one district can do independently.
And, you know, your point, and that's what I said at the beginning, I'm so interested in this industry voice, and you use the word partners. Okay, I hate the word vendors because that implies sales. Okay, and yes, people want to sell their product, but they're not selling it to a school district unless they back it up and continue to back it up and understand the industry to begin with. And that's why this industry voice is so darn important. Lil, talk about for a second. You mentioned all those things, but how does this is not, but I want to get it straight for the audience. How does ENA? And you just said the Zoom conferences as an example, phone systems. When a school district calls you and is using ENA, okay, when they call you with these needs, what do you guys need to do to make these things happen? I just want people to get the picture of what you do.
Sure. So we have several school districts who use our voice over IP technology. And, you know, this is for, you know, communications throughout the district and throughout the community. Because of shifting to home and remote access, what we were able to do is provide our Smart Voice Go app, which provides is able to forward your desktop phone to your mobile device or to your computer, so that, you know, soft phones and smartphones can now act as if, you know, you are in your, you know, at your office, sitting at your desk. So being able to transfer an entire district's communication system to mobile, you know, within,
yep.
you know, a couple of hours was amazingly enabling for many districts that we serve. Another example is Wi-Fi access. So we extended the Wi-Fi for many school systems to include outside access points so that students could then come to the parking lots, come close to the school, and get connectivity where they might not have that level of connectivity at home. Zoom, you know, everybody's on Zoom 24/7.
Yeah.
I can't even
yeah.
begin to
yeah.
tell you the explosion. Monica is our Zoom expert, and I think she turned up, Monica, how many, 120, 160 school districts?
Right, we turned up 120 school districts throughout the pandemic. That's correct.
Wait a minute, what do you mean 120 school districts? What do you mean, that you had them on a Zoom meeting or that you've set them up with Zoom?
No, we set them up with access to Zoom over the pandemic. So starting in April, we offered them an opportunity to join Zoom, you know, and get access as quickly as they needed it so that they could reach their students. So we did that very quickly throughout April and across the country. So it wasn't any one state. And we just saw this quick surge into Zoom, and I'm sure Lil's going to get at this too, but the one thing that I wanted to add about where, you know, ENA comes in many ways, it wasn't just about giving them access, but it was helping them understand how to do secure access. So how to set it up and train your teachers in a way that they really could understand what's important for privacy for their students. Because just because your students are connected doesn't mean that they're, you know, in a safe connection. So we wanted to make sure to help them understand how to do their settings, how to use Zoom in the most beneficial way for learning and engagement. So we were having conversations with kindergarten teachers up to administrators about the best way to roll that out, both in our voice communications but in Zoom. So it's been a lot of work, but it's been rewarding work, Larry, to really see how teachers and educators really step to the plate and parents
and companies,
to
and companies.
Educate. Yeah, yeah, and partners, because they're one of our partners.
Yes.
Yeah,
partners, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's interesting. That phrase came out at the beginning of all this was Zoom bombing, or I think people were hacking into meetings. I think that's what that meant. Okay. And how are things now? What do teachers, Monica, have to be really aware of? Can they? In other words, let me ask
I think it's important that
if they use ENA, you guys are going to provide security for them.
That's right.
You're going to teach them how to make sure that the information is secure, because otherwise you can get, is that the right word, Zoom bombed?
They don't like that word, but yes, that's the word that is being used out there. But what's really neat is that, you know, one thing I'll say about that company, and ENA does the same. As soon as things started happening, they immediately put all directives on supporting security. You know, and so did we. We did several webinars for our educators out there. And it's really just about creating a place where you can enable a waiting room, where you can set your settings so that students are there, and that won't happen, and that you don't put things out public. You keep things, you know, just to your students. So that was all part of it, and that's all just part of the process. You know, we asked our teachers to do a lot when they shifted from school to home. I think they completely stepped to the plate, and so did our administrators operationally.
I was just going to say the same thing. They really they did step up to the plate, and I'll be honest, no district has hit a home run or at least a grand slam, but every district has tried their very best to make this work in the most unexpected situation ever. And every district and parents, too, should be congratulated for really coming around and making 3 months of school go online in approximately 10 minutes, okay, and actually make it work. They really need to be congratulated on that. It's It's just such an amazing thing. Okay. Lil, what's top of mind on it for the superintendent right now in regards to all this? Lil, top of mind.
So I think safety, safety is top of mind for superintendents right now. So how to bring
that's
the
same
entire
as security?
School community.
Is that the same word as security?
When
you say safety?
I don't think so. When we think about security, we think more about student data privacy. We think about, kind of technology security. When superintendents are now bringing children back to school, they're thinking about, and teachers, they're thinking about safety. They're thinking about personal protective gear. They're thinking about distancing. They're thinking about face masks. They're thinking about so many things in order to bring students back safely. And I think also encourage parents to bring their kids back to school because they are, you know, in a safer environment, or they're in a safe environment. Of course, their homes is the safest environment, but, you know, that schools are building safe environments. So right now, safety is top of mind. Funding is, you know, the next big challenge. So, you know, what I said, is, you know, necessity is the mother of invention, but it's also now the, you know, kind of instigator of funding. So we're seeing, COVID funding going to schools, you know, that is, you know, very significant funding going to schools, and superintendents are thinking about, you know, what's the best way to invest those one-time funds that they're getting from the federal government to be able to, you know, to continue almost normal operations of a school system because the funding, the traditional funding for schools next year will probably see a very significant decrease because of the, you know, the tax, you know, all of the stay-at-home stuff really changed the financials of every state, so, and every local community. So that's going to affect schools pretty dramatically. So superintendents are thinking about, you know, how do I use that funding either to invest in technology that will help to leverage resources that the district has, but also to, you know, keep the doors open and keep the kids safe and teachers safe.
And what do you think, what are you hearing, Lil, as you talk about it? For next year, and I've heard, and you mentioned a couple of every other day, where the kids come in, the A to K's come in on Monday and Tuesday, and the other kids come in Wednesday and Thursday, the L's do with the disease, whatever. I've heard they're going to stay home all the time. I heard they're going back. I've heard, and I'm going to do a show about this, that the CDC has, this is tomorrow I'm doing this show, the CDC has put out new guidelines. Okay, in terms of separating, learning distance, we'll call it, within a classroom. So you can only fit so many kids in a classroom this way and that way, keep them still, don't interact, et cetera. What are you hearing, Lil?
I'm hearing, a lot of iterations of, just variety of the ways districts are thinking about bringing their students and teachers back to school. And as I said, there's no one size fits all. I think, you know, it really depends on the district and the community and what that superintendent and community feels are safe. The thing that I'm hearing the most, though, are those alternate days where, you know, 50% of the students would come in Tuesdays and Thursdays, 50% of the students would come in on Mondays and Wednesdays, and then the Friday is used for, blended learning, home learning, helping those students who need some extra help, but also giving teachers that professional development day to help them to, kind of prepare for the next week and prepare in this kind of alternate day environment. Blended learning, you know, being able to spend part of the day online, part of the day, you know, in remote learning is, you know, another alternative that some districts are looking at. Some districts are looking at, you know, fully staying remote. It really just depends on each district's and their community's ability to embrace the safety issue as well as the learning issue. And of course, there are some, you know, the districts that are still battling with some union issues that they have to resolve this shift. Yeah, because, you know, obviously this is so different for teachers.
Of course.
And they really haven't had the resources and the training in order to make this shift as smooth as maybe they would have with, you know, with some additional time and training.
Yeah, and hopefully we will get it right. The other challenge is, you know, you send kids home, let's say, 2 days a week, okay? With a family, what if mom and dad work, okay? And suddenly businesses open again. Who takes care of the kids when they are home? Remember, schools are in loco parentis, okay, during the school day. So mom and dad, if they need to, can work, okay? And it's just going to be more and more chaos as we take all these things into consideration. I don't know how it's all going to shake out. It's just a brutal, brutal time. Are you hearing anything, Monica, different from what Lil said?
Yeah, the only other interesting model that I've heard about is one school district is looking at having their students partially in class and some online at home so that the teacher does sort of a hybrid teaching, much mm-hmm. along the lines of what distance education had been in its early stages, where they have a few students in front of them and a few at home. So other than that, many of the models that Lil just shared, I think, are examples of what I've heard from superintendents and teachers. I think the interesting challenges, Larry, you brought up one about the parents, are, you know, there's still
brutal.
Those questions, because even if you have a hybrid model or a blended model, or they're all at home or they're maybe all at school, for districts, it's sort of changed their operational conversations, you know, even to the parent, you know, where's my administration? You know, where is my inner office staff? And how do I know, you know, like many schools are looking at hotspots and smart buses to keep their community connected, because you really got to look at, you know, when we partner with Kajit on that, you really got to look at what's happening all around your community. It's no longer just a building district question. It's really a community question. And we haven't even gotten into all their survival things they need to monitor, from, you know, how do they get the meals out and how do they do things like that for their students.
Right.
So it's a really interesting fall that it's going to shape up to be. And mm-hmm. I think that there are a lot of unanswered questions for districts, but I think there's going to be a lot of things that emerge. And I think it's a transition point in education that's going to make us think a lot about the types of learning we're doing and how that changes. And my guess is some of this footprint will stay and last for a while.
I believe it will. I believe it will. You know, I hate to say it, because 110,000 people have died and so many people are sick. People are out of work. The pandemic is not good. Okay. But it has offered at least an opportunity to look at what we do and clean up a little bit of what we didn't do. And the classic example of that is your business of technology. We all got caught short. Not everybody, I shouldn't say all, but many, many, many school districts got caught short because they kept kicking the can down the road on technology and equity and access. Then all of a sudden the world fell apart. They couldn't reach their kids. All right. We can't let that happen again. The old song, we won't get fooled again. All right. And this is the key stuff of what you do. And I want to get back to something. And Monica, I'm going to stick with you because you're a product marketing manager. I want you to just really tell people how important something like Catch On is, because the school districts are going to be inundated. I think they already are with everybody, you know, talking about their technological product that will bring learning to the kids in a remote environment. That has to be managed, okay? And that's a key thing. Technology is a tool. It has to be managed. And just go into a little more detail about Catch On in this crazy world, Monica.
Yeah, though, thank you. Great. So because Catch On has that visibility, it's sort of that window into the data analytics, it's going to help schools in three or four different ways. One, And most important is, you know, are my students engaged and connected? You know, so I would have that visibility at sort of the class level, the microscopic level, just to see, are they connected? Are they actually connected to the applications and the curriculum that we have worked with our teachers and sent home? And so through Catch-On, you can actually look at that, the time of day,
yep,
at the class level, you know, how long are they, you know, what is their engagement percentage on there? So I think that's critical, one, to begin to formulate the question of, is what we're doing making a difference? And are we reaching the students?
Yeah.
And we even had one district that was somewhat using it just to see if they were coming on for attendance. And, you know, to find out,
you,
too,
why
you
not?
Always talk about equity. Are they there? Are they not there? And if they're not there, what
Thank
do we
you.
Need to do to help them? And then
exactly.
the other piece that I think is important is, and we saw this early in the pandemic, and then it sort of settled, and it kind of goes back to teacher training, but Catch-On allows school districts to look at trending applications or applications they didn't even know schools were using. So teachers have gotten very excited over the pandemic
yep.
to grab free resources out
yep.
there. And what
yep.
Catch-On allows you to do is see what have teachers or students engaged in that we need to pull back and look at to make sure it's vetted for privacy at the state and district level, and two, that it's a valuable resource, that it's where students should be spending their time. So, and then that also allows the opportunity to communicate to parents and teachers what is approved, what isn't approved, and what the compliance pieces are around it. So those are some of the big things that Catch-On really does for school districts,
yep.
and I think it's the critical next question going into the fall is, how do we know? You know, how do we know they're engaged? How do we know we're
exactly.
making an impact? And how do we know they're learning?
And how do we know they're safe? And is there anything else you could think of? I mean, we got to know this. And you, again, I'll go back to what you said at the beginning. This is data. Okay, we have to get the data, and that's what you guys do. It's amazing. What Jenna created is absolutely, absolutely, absolutely unbelievable. Lil, what do you want, as we wind down here, what do you want school districts to know? And you can speak to it. I think you need to speak to ed tech directors and superintendents if you want to say something to teachers. What do they need to know, Lil?
Well, I think the first thing that I really want everyone to know is that, you know, there are still some legislative bills that are being considered by Congress to be able to add $5 billion of funding specific to shoring up the equity issue for connectivity, bringing connectivity
mm-hmm.
to the home so that every student,
yep.
They believe that the $5 billion will address, well, actually, they think it's about $7 billion. But, you know, using $2 billion from the CARES Act and using $5 billion from E-Rate to be able to really, by the back-to-school time frame, just really fix the equity of access issues for students and teachers across the United States. So the very first thing is that advocacy, you know, talking with your senators, being able to really push for this additional funding, because that is foundational. You know, without equity of access, you'll have continued digital divide, you'll have continued, you know, homework gap, and people aren't using homework gap anymore because it's, you know, it's basically the learning gap because everybody's home. It's very different.
Yeah.
So very first thing for technology coordinators is, you know, keep the pressure on the Congress people to get this funding in place so that they have the money to actually do the work. The second piece is that, you know, I know that many technology administrators, school administrators are just being besieged with you know, vendors who are reaching out trying to help. And I really want to make sure that, you know, they understand that, you know, we want to do something to help as a partner community. I know most districts just rely on their current partners, their current vendors to work with them. But just know that the vendor, partner, industry community are standing with you in many ways.
They are.
You know, we really want to help. We don't want to get in the way, but we do want to help. And you know, please let us know how to do that in ways that are effective for you.
Well said. Well said. Monica, your thoughts? What do they really need to know? You may just agree with Lil if you like, but if you'd like to add something, you're welcome.
I do agree. I guess the other component I do agree with Lil, but the last piece I would say is that I think it's important that we all stay connected into this. I think learning from each other, district conversations across districts and across the United States
Key
need
thing.
To continue to happen.
Key thing.
Along with partners, because we're all in this together and we are going to learn from each other. It's a monumental shift in education, but we all have so much to teach each other. And I guess that would be my third big piece I would put out there. We're all learning in this.
Yeah, we are. And that is a key thing. And I know EdWeb's a good example of this, the communities that they put together. Look, every school district is surrounded by a million other school districts. And you're not alone out there. Okay, you all know where your top partners are in the industry. Get in touch with them. If you've been holding off for a while, talk to everybody. Okay, because the stuff that's out there is great, and things are changing, needs are changing, etc. You two are wonderful. I can't thank you enough for doing this. Thank you, Lil. Thank you, Monica. What can I say?
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you so much. Keep the faith.
My pleasure. Thank you, and I'm going to play music in a few minutes. I want you to know it's for you. As I sign off in a few minutes, that music is for you guys. Okay? I'm going to call it the Lil and Monica ending theme, okay? So let me just sign off, and we'll go from there, okay? Have a good day down there. Stay safe, please, ladies, okay?
Thank you.
Bye, all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. That's Lil Kellogg from ENA and Catch On. And also Monica Coogan, also from ENA, and Catch On, catchon.com, ENA.com. Okay, we're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. We'll tweet it out at EduTalk Radio. We Facebook at EduTalk Radio and Larry Jacobs, and we link in at Larry Jacobs. Please, everything we do over at ace-ed.org is free for educators. Please go over, check it out, ace-ed.org, all about the American Consortium for Equity in Education. My name is Larry Jacobs. Here is the ending theme for Lil and Monica. Thank you, ladies.